everybody. We're back. A couple of landmark cases in the courts yesterday, Supreme Court. Here to talk about it is Jonathan Bell, the Bell Law Group. Always great to have him back. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jay. How you doing?
I am doing well. This is all revolving around Title VII, John, right, of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Federal law that prohibits employers from discriminating against employees on the basis of sex, race, color, national origin, and religion, and generally applies, if I'm not mistaken, to employers with 15 or more employees, and that would include federal, state, and local governments, correct?
That is correct, Jay, yes. What's amazing here is that there's an estimated 8.1 million LGBTQ workers across the country. And the Supreme Court is now deciding three cases. And being in Long Island, as you know, we have some great pride. One of those cases were born out of Long Island. It was a Long Island skydiver. A guy named Donald Zarda in 2010 was skydiving, and he has his customer strapped to him, a female customer. And to alleviate her concerns, he said, by the way, I'm gay. So she reported that to her boyfriend, who reported it to her boss, and the boss fired him. Now, interestingly, he died in 2014 in a skydiving incident, but his husband and sister are continuing the case. So that's one out of three cases the Supreme Court is deciding that's going to have national implications. So I find that very, very interesting.
It seemed that there was kind of a struggle. I know I was reading regarding some of the events from yesterday, John, and there were hard-fought arguments, it seems, where they struggled the Supreme Court to decide, you know, this landmark 1964 civil rights law barring employment discrimination based on sexual orientation and transgender status. But it seems like they were a struggle. You know, you look at these cases, when you think about it, the courts first on LGBT rights since the retirement last year, right, of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who actually wrote the majority opinions in all four of the court's major gay rights decisions. So without Justice Kennedy, who joined the four liberals in the 5-4 ruling, granting some sex couples the right to marry the workers who sued their employees in the three cases before the court, I mean, you think about it, it could be an uphill fight here.
It's definitely an uphill fight. Trump appointed both Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, who have conservative views. Kavanaugh apparently asked one question during the hours of testimony. However, Gorsuch asked a lot of questions, said it was a very, very close call, and is giving us some hope that his vote is in play. So that's very, very interesting. And Jay, just for your audience, to break down the arguments in very simple form, the LGBTQ community and its supporters are essentially arguing that sexual orientation and gender identity fits within the category of gender discrimination. In other words, if Sarah marries Bill, they're given a week off for their honeymoon. But if Bob marries Bill, he's fired. So therefore, the distinguished factor is their gender. And as you know, in 2015, gay marriage became legal. So you could literally get married on a Saturday and be fired on a Monday for the same reason of being gay. Now, the conservatives' approach is saying, well, listen, in 1964, when they wrote the law, they didn't contemplate sexual orientation or gender identity. And therefore, it's up to Congress to change it, not the courts. But Justice Ginsburg brought up a very good point, saying that, well, in 1964, when they created gender discrimination, they weren't thinking of sexual harassment. And now the courts expanded it to include sexual harassment decades ago.
And the problem, we're talking with John Bell, and, you know, the problem with Gorsuch, John, you know, he's one of these guys, he's an avowed believer in, you know, what's called, ladies and gentlemen, textualism, okay, with a T, meaning that he actually considers the words Congress enacted rather than, I'm trying to phrase this right, rather than evidence that's drawn from other sources there. So he's actually going on words, rather than, you know, the evidence portion of it. And kind of, you know, John Bell, he repeatedly suggested that the words of Title VII may well bar employment discrimination based on the sexual orientation and transgender status. So the question was, as he said, you know, he kind of made it seem, you know, he said really close there, just to that meaning of, you know, that believer in the textualism point of things here.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Jay, it actually fits within the textualism, as I think that he's now realizing because of that perfect example I just gave you where it does fit within gender. In other words, they're not looking for sexual orientation and gender identity to be a different protected class. They're saying that it fits within that protected class of gender. And like you said earlier in your show, there's race, age, religion, gender, disability. So there are already established protected classes, and they're saying it's fitting now within gender. Now, keep in mind, there are 21 states that have passed state laws that explicitly protect employees against discrimination based on LGBTQ issues. It's for those other remaining states and at the federal level for them to identify it. Now, this in the skydiving case, for example, in the district court, it was he lost, the plaintiff lost. It was ruled that that gay discrimination is not covered on the federal law. However, at the appellate level, it was reversed. So the skydiving company then appealed it to the Supreme Court. So out of the two out of the three cases, the gay individuals were successful at the appellate level.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's interesting, you know, when you look at some of these viewpoints by these justices, you know, John Roberts said he was concerned that a ruling in favor of the plaintiffs would not adequately protect employers with religious objections to same-sex relationships and transgender status. Then you look at a guy like Justice Alito, who said the public would find it hard to accept the ruling. You know, it's interesting here. You know, I'm talking about from the Supreme Court interpreting Title VII to encompass other forms of discrimination. So they're kind of laying it out for you. Stephen Breyer said, the justice said, that firing a member of a gay couple was no different from firing a Catholic for marrying a Jew. So they're kind of laying it out in a way, and they're being very cautious here, John Bell. I'll tell you that much. Very cautious in the way of interpretation is perceived.
Yeah, well, I think regardless of what the ruling, it's going to be very, very close, probably decided by one vote, if I was going to guess. But at the end of the day, Jay, I'm sure you feel like I feel, which is the fact that judge people by their performance on their job. Whatever they do outside of their job is their business and their personal lives. I can tell you personally, as an employer, it's hard to find good workers. If you find a good worker, you keep him or her, and you're happy that you have a good worker, and you don't look for reasons other than their performance to fire them.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like to me, you know, if you look at the second case argued, that was the transgender case. It seems to me that certainly is the easier one as far as the plaintiffs. You know, listen. You got discrimination against transgender people certainly sounds like, and it is, discrimination based on sex, without question, to me at least. And at the same time, though, they said, you know, a ruling protecting transgender people would open a new front of in the culture war. To me, that's probably the easiest one as far as these cases that were presented yesterday, you know?
I agree with you, Jay, and you gave the perfect example. I'm Jewish. If I convert, if I become Christian and I get fired, there's no question that that's religious discrimination. So if I come in one day and I'm male and then I disclose to my boss, hey, you know, I really feel like I'm a female and I've been struggling with this for a while and tomorrow I'm going to dress as a female and I need to change, I'm working towards changing my gender and you're fired, it's almost the same exact logic behind it.
No doubt. So, John, where do we end up here? What's down the road and everything else regarding decisions here?
It looks like the decision is going to come out in June of 2020. So we're going to keep a close watch on it. And, you know, like you say, it's just amazing the way things worked out with, you know, Trump getting elected and being able to nominate two justices I feel like if this case was decided a few years ago, it might not even be a close call. So it's amazing the way things have worked out. I'm a supporter of the law, obviously, and I hope that it does go through. And I do believe in justice for all, and this would be a big step in that direction.
No doubt, and certainly Justice Sotomayor appearing at the end of the arguments, at least, appeared to kind of urge the court, John Bell, to act to protect historically disfavored groups. And I think her words will certainly echo in droves regarding what happens down the road here, don't you?
Absolutely, Jay. Absolutely. I think that... her vote is clear as to which way that she's leaning. I think it's gonna land on the lap of Gorsuch, and he's gonna have to determine if he decides to quote unquote punt it and say it's really Congress that has to make this decision. The Senate being controlled by the Republicans, it'll never go through. If it's gonna go through, it has to go through here in the Supreme Court.
I think you're right. I mean, certainly when he had stated really close, really close, I mean, that kind of sums it up as far as Justice Gorsuch is concerned. We told you he's an avowed believer in that textualism, considering, the words Congress enacted rather, than evidence, than sheer evidence drawn from other sources there. That's something you have to keep in mind. I think you're right. I think Gorsuch, to me, we'll have the finale in it all regarding these decisions.
Sure. I mean, there's also that second case that we haven't spoken about where you have an employee who does a very good job, gets promoted, never have any disciplinary issues. He works with kids and helping kids and placing kids. And all he does is join a gay men's softball team and immediately gets fired. I can't believe that could be allowed in our country. And hopefully the Supreme Court will see it that way and overall rule that sexual orientation and gender identity clearly fits within gender discrimination.
Hard to believe, hard to believe sometimes we talk of issues of this nature in this 21st century. Hard to believe we still battle it back and forth, incredible as it sounds. But we shall see. And as John said, we await till 2020, probably June, when we get some finality in all of this. So we'll keep an eye on things. John, always a pleasure to have you. Oh, I want to talk one other case before I let you go. My goodness. There was another case, right, regarding a blind individual in Domino's Pizza, correct, John? Can we talk about that a sec?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a website accessibility for people who are blind and deaf. There's about 2,200 lawsuits filed within the last year saying that companies' websites who have physical locations must be accessible. So a blind man went onto the Domino's website or app and tried to order a pizza. Now they have special software that basically reads these websites and mobile apps, and they have to be something called WCAG, website content accessibility. They have to be basically readable by this software company, and Domino's wasn't. So the blind person claims that he doesn't have equal access to people without disabilities. He says that the ADA has been around since 1990, that's 30 years, and that websites have to be accessible, as do physical locations have to be accessible. So Domino's lost. They appealed it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court declined to even take the case, meaning that the original ruling by the appellate division stands.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, think about this. The decision not to grant the case, a loss for Domino's and a win for disability advocates. And they have argued that, listen, and businesses do not have to maintain and everything else, when you think about it. Accessible sites, disabled people could be effectively shut out of, and again, you look at the common denominator in all this, and that is the economy. I mean, think about if individuals who are disabled, as in the case of Guillermo Robles, who could not get on the site in order, Think about the portions of the economy overall that could be affected by Robles' lack of, as far as his own right in ordering food. I mean, you kind of look at the domino effect of what it all has, but that's really true. You know, you're not allowing a portion of the population to contribute to the economy in that type of way, John.
That's right, and that's very well said, Jay. And just for all your listeners out there who own their own business, who have their websites up, don't assume that your website developer even knows what this law is. There are websites out there that you could run your URL and find out what your violations are, and then there are website companies specifically there that could get those issues fixed. So your website is now accessible to people who are blind and deaf. So, for example, websites that are blind have to be able to be read by Dragon software. People that are deaf, if you have any videos on there, you have to have closed captions. So any business really that has a physical location can be sued. And plaintiff's lawyers are being successful, not only getting their fees paid, having you fix it, but then you have to pay defense costs. So if you want to avoid this situation, look for these companies online, get your website fixed. If you have any questions, give me a call. We're heavily involved in this stuff, and we'd be happy for you to avoid a lawsuit, and you could thank this show for providing you with this information.
John, give out the site and the phone number, whatever you can here to help the folks.
Call me at 855-JOHN-BELL, J-O-N-B-E-L-L. I'd be happy to help you get completely ADA compliant and avoid the potential of a very expensive lawsuit.
Tell you, good information there. Excellent story, by the way. Really a lesson to be learned for plenty of businesses out there. You know, we talk about it all the time regarding technology and everything else. This is another aspect of businesses in compliance. And what could happen here? As in the case of Guillermo Robles. Fascinating case all around the docket yesterday with the Supreme Court, and we'll keep on top of things, as will Mr. Bell. John, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks again for having me on. We'll talk soon.